good that we can come together as a body of believers, and it is good that you and I can unite together in the bond of love. For we know that you and I cannot do anything without the Lord. We need the Lord in our hearts and our lives, and we know that God is the God that will sustain us every step of the way, and we are blessed to be in the house today. And so if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. We're in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. 2 Chronicles 7 and 12, and I'm going to give you just a minute to get there. That's not a script, a pass, or not a book that we go to a lot, but I want you to look at this with me today. 2 Chronicles of the Old Testament with the 7th chapter, 12th verse. We'll get it right here. 7th chapter, 12th verse. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. And when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and byword among all peoples. And as for this house, which is exalted, every one who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want us to look at this passage here a little bit. And I want you to know today, the title of my message is The Way Out Is Up. The Way Out Is Up. I don't know what you might be going through today, but whatever you are going through today, you may feel like it's never going to end. You may feel like you're at your end's rope. You may feel like, I don't know how much further I can go, Pastor. Well, I want you to know today, be encouraged, because the way out is the way up. And we've got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ through everything, even if we feel like we're dealing with a crisis in our hearts and our lives. We need to know that to look at the situation is not a permanent situation, but to look is to look upward and not look at within ourselves. The promise in today's scripture, I want us to look at this, comes when Solomon was dedicating the temple. And they were going through a period of progress, as we see in chapter 8. They were enjoying a time of peace, as we see this in chapter 9. And it was a period of unparalleled prosperity that was going on in chapter 9. Everybody was going and doing their own thing. God has always been fair with humankind. He attempted to alert them to temptation that they would face. He told them the price of yielding to those temptations that come your way. He told them in advance what the solution to that problem would be. And I want you to know today, when you begin to back away from reading the Word of God, when you begin to back away from praying to God, when you begin to back away with letting other things take the place of what God is wanting you to do in your life, and that's to communicate with Him, that's to have a personal relationship with Him, that's to know that God wants to speak to you. If you allow other gods in your life, God warns us that we are severed from the relationship if we don't continue to abide in the Word of God. The Word of God is the food for the soul. The prayer that we pray unto God is communicating with God on a daily basis. We can't just communicate with Him on Sunday morning. We just can't communicate with Him on Wednesday night. It has to be a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. I want you to know, however, the next generation, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the next generation began to turn away from God and paid a high price. King Rehoboam did evil because he did not seek the Lord. The country was split between Judah and Israel, and problems begin to plague them, as we see in 2 Chronicles, the 20th verse. One story concerning Judah has a great message for you and I today. I've always said and will say it again, you play with fire, you will get burned. You continue to play and be on the fence line and you're halfway in and halfway out. Listen, I want you to know the devil knows exactly what's going on in your life. And if you're teeter-totting with God, you're on dangerous ground. And therefore, we must understand that we have to be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. By doing what, Pastor? Putting on the whole armor of God. Not just some of it. Not just a piece of it. Not when you think you need it or when it's time to put it on. We've got to put on the whole armor of God every day because we're going to fight against things that you and I don't know what we're going to fight because we haven't seen it yet. But we've got to be prepared and know that God is for us, not against us. But He's warning us through His Word of God. He is sharing with us and letting us know that the time is at hand. It's going to get harder. Days are coming and things will get more wicked and wicked. And we need to understand that we've got to be prepared at all times. I was just looking at the news this week. Of course, there's nothing on the news that's good anymore. It used to be, but not anymore. And I was listening how that now young people at the age of 12, that young people today, it's rising, it is getting in, and it's just becoming just droves and droves of young people that are stealing, people breaking, kids are breaking into cars, breaking into homes, shootings are going on at 12 years old. And the reason why they're allowing the 12-year-olds to do what they do is because they can't put them through the big courts. They put them through the small courts. And then these kids are so young that they go to a juvenile court and they go into juvenile prison, so they don't have to serve a long time. And so the older adults are telling the young people what to do and how to do and when to do it, where to do it, because there's not going to be any repercussions that's going on with a minor. Folks, I want you to know today we live in a society where that this world is not getting any better. And Jesus lets us know in the last days it's not going to get any better. And that what we have to do as Christians, we have to be prepared. We have to be ready spiritually in our hearts and our lives. And that God says, when you put on the whole armor of God, then you will be able to withstand when the enemy wars against your soul. You will be prepared inside and out. My first point today, I want you to look at this with me, is look at the admission of need. Look at this. Judah was faced with an enemy that they could not handle. Now, why couldn't they handle the enemy? Well, because when the enemy came to them, they wasn't strong enough. They wasn't prepared. Why? Because they had been doing what they wanted to do, be what they wanted to be, say what they want to say, go where they want to go, do what they wanted to do. And therefore, they were not prepared. That's why we have to be prepared at all times. 2 Chronicles 20:1, and it happened after that, or this, that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others were with them beside the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat, and then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. So in other words, things were happening, and you know, it's like, it's just as natural as it is. I don't need you, God, right now because everything's fine right now. I don't need you, God, because everything is just doing fine. I've got what I want. You know, I'm doing great. I'll call you when I need you, Lord. That's not the relationship that God wants with you and I. It's not for us to call on God when we're in trouble. It's not for us to call on God when we find it convenient to call upon Him. He wants a personal relationship with us on a daily basis. In other words, He wants to communicate with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to share with you. You say, well, Pastor, how does He do that? He does it through His Word of God, by the Word, in the Word, and through the Word, by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, that you and I can withstand to know that when the enemy comes, because you don't know when the enemy's going to come, for Jesus clearly lets us know that, He's going to come as a surprise to us all, but are we going to withstand and are we going to be prepared to fight against the enemy when he does come? That's what we have to understand. There could be no progress towards a solution until the need was acknowledged. Jehoshaphat was wise and sought help from God. Our world is battling an enemy every day that is much too greater for us. The moral decay The mayhem in the streets, the hatred in our world are more than we can handle alone. Those who want life of peace and progress, prosperity, faces an enemy that's overwhelming odds that is against us. I want you to know the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy, but Jesus Christ has come to give us life and give us more abundantly, and that you and I can have the victory. It is not for us to be in doom, gloom, and agony and defeat, but it's to hold our head up high, give the world a smile, and say, I know who my God is. He's victory, and He is in charge, and that's the God that we must look to day in and day out. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We give the devil too much credit. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what the devil is doing. He's doing this. Oh, the devil's doing that. Listen, we have to make a choice. We put more blame on the devil than ourselves. We have to make a choice. Do you want to live right? Do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to be a disciple? Do you want to be on fire for God? Do you want to stand for the truth? Do you want to stand for what's right? That's a choice that you and I have to make day in and day out. My second point is this. Is there a solution to the problem that people face? Is there a solution? Let me answer that question. Yes, there is a solution. And we know the solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that has brought us into the world. He's the one that's going to take us out of this world. He is the one that's going to help us through the things that you and I deal with, because it's not about you, it's not about me, but it's about what Jesus Christ is doing in us on a daily basis. He's working on us. He is instructing us. He is telling us. He is showing us. He has cared enough for us because He loves us. And that He loves, He's not going to destroy, but He's going to mend the brokenhearted. He's going to bring people back and restore and bring the love of God back into the heart of God's people. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. This is not the end. This is not the end. It is not for us to throw in the towel. It's not for us to throw our hands up and quit. It is for us to fight the good fight of faith. But Pastor, what about this? What about that? I don't see this. I don't see that. I don't understand this. It's not for us to understand. It's not for us to see. But it's for us to see with the eyes of Jesus Christ. When Jesus fed the 5,000, a little bit of loaves, a little bit of fish. Listen, His disciples looked at him and said, there's no way we're going to do this, Jesus. All things are possible with the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are possible just because of what you see and just what you hear of. Jesus can do great and mighty things. We need to not forget this, folks. We need to understand who's in charge. God is in charge. He has the last say-so. Just because of what you see, what you hear, and what you say does not change nothing about the mighty moving of God. God will be God, and God will move at the right time. Because time is everything unto the Lord. Judah remembered the promise. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. We got a world that doesn't want to humble themselves. We've got people that don't want to humble themselves. They want to have a prideful life, a prideful heart. That's what took Satan completely out of heaven, was because of pride. Pride goes before a fall. If you're not willing to admit that you are a sinner, that you have sinned, Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But if we say that we have no sin, guess what? The Scripture also says we are a liar and the truth is not in us. Folks, to be honest with God is to say, fully surrender and say, I confess. Listen, there is a solution. Look at the example given here in 2 Chronicles 20:6. And said, O Lord God, our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nation? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people of Israel, gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever, and they dwelt in it, have built you a sanctuary in it for your name's sake. If disaster comes upon us, sword and judgment and pestilence or famine, we will stand before the temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple. Cry out to you in our affection, and you will hear and save us. God responds with an answer. So as they were crying, as they were saying, Lord Jesus, Lord God, help, move, have your way, 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, and He said, listen, all you of Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, and your king, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because this great multitude for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up with the ascent of Z, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeru. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah, Jerusalem, do not fear. Be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. When they asked the question with God, God gave them the answer and gave them the solution. He told them clearly what to do. If we would just take time out and say, God, I need you to speak to me. God, I've got a problem. I've got a situation. Don't go on media. Don't go on Facebook. Don't even call your friend. Call on God. Call Him first. Say, God, do you see my situation? Do you see my circumstance? Call on God, and God will give you the answer. It may not be the answer right now. It may not be the answer next week or next month. But when you call upon God, God will answer. The solution is He gives you the right answer. And the answer will be dead on. And you will be reassured. And you'll know that you know that you know that you know that God came on the scene and began to move in your life. He is simply telling them that if they would trust Him enough to show it through the way they lived, He would take care of them. He said, if you'll follow me, you follow my commandments, if you'll follow what I'm saying, if you will act on what I am saying, I will be your God. Be not dismayed, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You will reap good, or you will reap bad. But God is clearly giving us a solution. He is letting us know, if you will call on me, trust me, I will show you great and mighty things. God is saying the same thing to us today. He is telling us to trust Him. Live like it. And He will make up the difference. It is significant that the message came to the people who were called by His name. Because He clearly said, if My people which are called by My name will humble themselves. They had to humble themselves. Jehoshaphat was doing all that he could do as he was trusting the Lord. But when they begin to humble themselves and begin to seek His face and begin to see and turn from their wicked way, that's when God began to give the solution. That's why He said, position yourself. You've got to position yourself. You've got to put yourself in position to say, Lord, it is You, Lord. It is Your battle. David said, the battle is not mine. The battle is Yours, Lord. The battle is Yours, Lord. You can take that giant down. I can't take it down. Only with Your help. Listen. It is significant that the message came to the people who were called by His name. When believers live according to what they believe, the world will pay attention. Let me say this again. When believers live according to what they believe, the world will pay attention. Psalms 121, oh my mother, when she was living, would quote this to me all the time. Great passage. I love it. Psalms 121. You need to mark this in your Bible. If you don't have it highlighted, you need to mark this in your Bible. Psalms 121 and 1. Look at this. Psalmist David writes this. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lord, let me read that again. Psalms 121 and 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. I will look, as King James says, I will look unto the hills with my eyes. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I will look unto the hills. I will look. Why? Because your strength is not in yourself. Your strength is not in something. It is not in your resources. It is in God's resources. Your resources are not God's resources, and God's resources are not your resources. You can seek everything, you can follow everything, you can do everything, but in Christ you are to look unto the hills, because your strength is not in yourself. Your strength is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made heaven and earth. Heaven has to bow down to God. The earth has to bow down to God. And He is the Creator, and He is the one that created you and I to do what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. This thing is much greater than you. It's much greater than me, because it is God that lives and has His way and moves inside of our bodies to be a living sacrifice before the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Paul says for us to present ourselves, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Hallelujah. Which is our reasonable service, that we will serve Him. He's not putting no more on us than we can bear, but He's making a way of an escape. That He knows exactly what He's doing. He knows how much pressure to apply to you. He knows what He's doing. But what He's actually saying, are you following me? Are you talking with me? Are you communicating with me? Hallelujah. Because we have to respond. We have to respond to God Almighty. We just can't walk through life and assume God's this, assume God's that, and assume He'll do this, He'll do that. No, He wants you to interact with Him. Interact with Him and know that God loves you so much that He wants to communicate with you. Not just through a pastor, not just through the laity of the church, but God wants to talk to you personally in your life, day in and day out. Third, look at the results of the absolute faith in God. The children of Israel marched into battle with confidence, the confidence of the Spirit. They did not go with fear and trembling, but with faith and a song. Because that's what God told them to do. And that's exactly what they did. 2 Chronicles 20 and 21. And when they had consulted with the people, He appointed those who should sing to the Lord. If there's nothing else that you can do and you're dealing with struggles and you're trying to deal with everything that's going, start singing to God. Start singing the love of God. Start singing the praises of God. But pastor, you don't understand. I don't care. Sing unto God. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Sing your situation. Sing your problem to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said this clearly. As God spoke, He said, sing to the Lord. Who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever. You dealing with something? Praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever. In verse 21, we read that when their faith was evident, God fought for them. They didn't have to fight. Why? Because it was God's battle. He began to fight. Remember His promises in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. When the children of Israel carried on out the verse of 15 and 17, God began to respond. This is still our only hope today when we humble ourselves and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Then that's when God from heaven will heal us and heal the land that we're on. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen, there is no earthly power that can deliver us. Without God's help, we will not be able to win the battle ourselves. You will not win the battle doing it on your own. You may say, oh, I can do this, I can do that. Yeah, but you're limited to what you can do. Without God's help, we will not be able to win. We face an overwhelming enemy who has a vast army marching against you and I every day. Did you know the devil has already assigned a demon against you and against me? But also, God has assigned an angel for you. And that angel and that demon is always fighting with each other because the flesh and the spirit is always going to wrestle until the day we die. But I want you to know in the spiritual realm, there's a war going on that the devil doesn't want to release you. He wants you all. But I want you to know there is a God in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ that died over 2,000 years ago on the cross that has sustained and the blood has been shed upon Calvary's cross and it's been paid. You've been signed, sealed, and delivered, and God is going to take care of you. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Our hope for victory is through a fresh outpouring of God's presence. How long has it been that you've had a fresh outpouring of God's presence? How long has it been that you've been with God and in His presence? Listen, notice when God began to move in 2 Chronicles 20 and 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir and who had come against Judah. And they were defeated. They had prayed. God had given them instruction. They believed. They believed. They believed. He delivered them. The result of following His guidance is joy in the camp. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory, because when we follow after God's heart and we listen to what He is saying, then in return, God begins to give us the strength that we need. Listen, this thing can happen even in our world today. It can happen in your world today. The way out of the problem is found in looking up to Him. The way out of a problem is looking our way up to Him. I don't want you to forget that, folks. I want you to know and be reassured. God is your hope. God is your hope. Everything around you may look like it's just a total disaster. And it may look like H-E-L-L around you. But I want you to know today, your living hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must look up. And I've always said this, and I'm going to say this in my closing today. When we have it together vertically, when we have it together with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord, then everything horizontally will begin to move in a way that we've never seen before. But we've got to get it right vertically. If we don't get it right vertically, everything else horizontally will not work. That's why it's so important that we are to look to the cross. We are to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we missed it today, if we missed it tomorrow, that's why we go before the cross and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Listen, none of us, including your pastor, are perfect. I'm not the perfect pastor, never claimed to be the perfect pastor, and never will be the perfect pastor. And there'll never be a perfect pastor out there. There'll never be perfect members. There'll never be a perfect church. But one that is perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one that's perfect. And you can take it to the bank, because He's went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He is seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, you and I have victory in this life, that you and I can make it another day, that we can make it another week, that we can make it another year. And we pray that we can, and we pray that we do. But we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, because it's never for you to see with the natural eye. People will judge you up and down. You look at everything and see everything. But listen, it is not by the eye, because God doesn't go, Jesus doesn't go by the eyes of what we see. It's about what He's doing, not what you and I are doing. We've just got to be a willing vessel. We've just got to be a servant. We've just got to be a disciple. We've just got to do what Jesus has asked us to do. That's all He's asked you to do. No more. Do what the Father of God says do. When Jesus was little, He was in the temple. He was preaching. They said, where is He at? Oh, I don't know. Let's find out. Mary's running around trying to find out. He's in the temple. Age 12, and He's preaching, teaching, speaking the Word, because He was the Word. And they said, Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you here? Oh, I'm just doing my Father's business. And that's all Jesus is saying to us. We need to do our Father's business. So when things come our way, and there are things that we face, I face things, you face things, it's not for us to throw in the towel. It's not for us to quit on God. It's not for to say, oh, well, whatever happens. No. It's for us to call on God, because God says, if you'll follow me, then I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. If you'll stand with me and every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today.